This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. In early May, Ohio Governor Kasich signed an executive order authorizing the testing of autonomous self-driving vehicles in Ohio. The governor called Mayor John Cranley to see if he would be supportive of an initiative locally, and Cranley replied, "Let's go." But this is about more than testing what others are creating. The state has created Drive Ohio to propel it to the front of the line for advancing autonomous cars, trucks, and self-piloted aircraft. We are joined today by the executive director of Drive Ohio and the former assistant director of transportation policy for the Ohio Department of Transportation, Jim Barna, the chief executive officer of the Ohio-Kentucky-Indiana Regional Council of Governments, OKI, Mark Polosinski, by assistant professor of transportation engineering at the University of Cincinnati College of Engineering and Applied Sciences, who works in the Next Mobility Lab, Dr. Jossie Ma, and the director of Regional Smart Cities Initiative and president of Venture Smart, Venture Smarter, Zach Hume. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everyone, for being here with us today. And Jim Barna, why don't we just start by saying, what is Drive Ohio? I mean, what is this initiative that's sort of statewide?
Well, thank you for having me on. Drive Ohio was created by the governor back in January by executive order. We are housed in the Department of Transportation, and we were set up to advance smart mobility in Ohio and kind of being that one-stop shop for those looking to kind of develop, test, and deploy these advanced mobility solutions. So when I talk about advanced mobility solutions, we're talking about autonomous and connected vehicles. Those vehicles can be in the form of cars, shuttles, trucks, et cetera. So with the technology coming on so quickly, we thought it would be beneficial to the state to create Drive Ohio so we can have that one-stop shop.
And when you say one-stop, both government agencies, private companies, community organizations, all can sort of coordinate through your office. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Dr. Ma, just to get us started here, where does technology on, let's say, cars and trucks in terms of autonomous driving cars and trucks, where do we really stand? How real is this? How far out in the future are we talking?
Thank you. So personally, I am very confident and positive about the technology. So I definitely think in the next 5 to 10 years, you will see fully autonomous vehicles on the road running through the city, or fully autonomous trucks running through from your origin to destinations. And as you can see today, manufacturers, car makers, they're starting to claiming that they have high level of automation, automated vehicles coming into the market. Like GM, they have announced their vehicle fleet has been very high level 3 or level 4 automated. I think they are it's very promising, but absolutely there are problems out there that you still need to fix. And in the next 5 to 10 years, I think we will see that.
What would be a one or two top problems that need to be fixed?
You know, driving is a very complex task. You know, when you are driving on the roadway, humans will be able to process those information and make real-time decisions. That's a very complex thing to do. With your software in a vehicle, you should be able to, you know, cover all the scenarios of a driving. You know, is that possible? Or how possible that is, how hard it is, we don't know. And we are probably able to deal with 90% of the common driving scenarios now. But in the future, with those special driving scenarios, can we deal with that? This is something we need to work on.
So a lot of refinement. Mark Polosinski with OKI, you are the guru locally on infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of infrastructure going, questions, discussions going on in our community. How should we change the way we think about infrastructure that we're going to be building, roads, bridges? How does that get changed? How should we be thinking about this differently, given the fact, as Dr. Ma just said, This is coming in 5 to 10 years, which is really a blink of the eye.
Well, the simple fact is that it is going to change almost everything that we do when it comes to infrastructure. One of the things we have to understand, though, about autonomous vehicles or driverless cars is that is going to be a game changer. But the other game changer and the one that will produce the most societal shift is not only the technology and driverless cars, but will people use that autonomy to share rides? If we all have autonomous cars, it doesn't really change the landscape that much. But if you and I agree that an Uber type of system could augment what we're currently doing, so I don't really need to own a car, that's one thing. It's another thing if I agree to get in an Uber and share that ride with somebody who I don't know, who's originating roughly where I live.
And you can choose that right now.
And you can choose that right now if you like. That's right. Uber Pool does that. So the question is this, and Dr. Ma is absolutely right. This is coming. It's trying to stop this. It's like standing in the ocean and trying to stop the tide. It's not going to happen. It's coming. It's coming very quickly. They've already invested in the world $250 billion in autonomous vehicles. So it's coming, and we have to be ready for the change. It just – a lot depends on how people react to this.
Okay. Zach, just to – where do we stand locally compared to other key places in the United States? Let's just stick with the United States for the moment. In terms of – being a research center, an experimental center on driverless, automated, autonomous driving vehicles. Because one of the things about Drive Ohio is the governor wants us to be on the forefront of this, not just be a user. So where do we stand right now as a center and innovator?
I think we stand very well positioned to be a leader, both because of actions at the state level with Drive Ohio and then also in our research centers. So at University of Cincinnati, at Ohio State University, at Ohio University, there are teams working on vehicle-to-vehicle communications, vehicle-to-infrastructure communications, and all of these other layers that need to be added into our traditional infrastructure like roads and bridges. I like to think of it like layers because ultimately we're adding a software or a technology layer into that so that we can optimize or altogether replace our outdated and inefficient systems. The fact is transportation is expensive. And another fact is that our vehicles are bankrupting our families, our communities, and our government budgets. Autonomous vehicles present annually a $1.3 trillion opportunity for total cost savings across a myriad of verticals. So, you know, it creates a business case.
Specifically, how would those cost savings come?
Sure. So $158 billion in fuel savings is an example.
Why would there be that much fuel savings? And Mark raised the point. Are we all just going to buy our own autonomous vehicles?
Right. So a couple of reasons. One is humans are pretty bad drivers. We're not very efficient drivers. So we'll autonomous vehicles will decrease tailpipe emissions by 66%. Of course, if we look at shared mobility and mobility as a service, that's going to continue to drive that. We're going to reduce accidents by 87%. And that will have a cost savings in $488 billion in accident avoidance. So, I mean, there's a real business case to doing this. There's a safety case to doing this. There's an access case to doing this. And there's a land use case to doing this.
Dr. Ma, do you agree that we'll be able to reduce accidents that much? Is it that computers in 5 to 10 years can be that much better drivers than human beings?
I think if computers, if you control them very well, if you're the software design very well, it is definitely possible. And those numbers Zach mentioned is always the goal that as researchers like us want to achieve in the university. Like for my team, we have done a large number of algorithm development, modeling and simulation work, and field experiment just to see if the algorithms, if the vehicles will be able to operate in a more efficient manner to achieve those numbers.
You know, and actually, that number is not that high. It's kind of low-hanging fruit. 94% of all accidents are caused by the driver. So even if you get incremental—
Driver error.
And driver—
Yeah, not just, I mean, driver is— okay.
Exactly. So even if you get incremental increases as we go through the next 10 years— in safety, you're going to see a dramatic reduction in the number of people who are killed and number of people who are injured.
Well, I think in the United States right now, isn't the total number of people killed somewhere around 35,000 a year?
Actually, it's gone up.
Yeah, it's higher than that.
And it's higher than that
reversed
now.
Reversed 2 years
40,
ago.
Yeah.
About 40,000. Okay. And I saw 1.2 million worldwide.
Worldwide.
So
think about that. That's 80 jumbo jets going down in a single year.
And
that's how many fatalities we have on the highway system.
Yeah, but we've gotten used to just reporting them and accepting them rather than having jumbo jets falling out of the sky and reacting to that. So, Jim Barna from Drive Ohio, what is it that Ohio has to offer? And Zach sort of outlined some of that stuff, but I also, there's also some things already in place. There's a 35-mile smart mobility corridor in central Ohio, basically from Dublin going to East Liberty. There's some similar infrastructure development around 270 and I-270 in Columbus up on I-90 in northeast Ohio. What is it that Ohio already has to offer to put on the table and say, come here and develop your technology, develop and road test and get this out and let us be part of the leadership?
Well, Ohio, first of all, we're very well positioned. If you look at where Ohio is in the United States, we're right at the heart of the Midwest. We're one day drive or 600 miles from 60% of the North American population. So everything that traverses the or freight, regardless, everything has to kind of cross the state of Ohio. If we look at freight, even communications, comes from west to east, it moves across the state of Ohio. That's a good part of it. We're well positioned. We also are the second largest state as far as automotive production. And we are number one when it comes to automotive parts production. So we have a very large presence as far as the automotive industry is concerned. We also have many research institutions. We have the Transportation Research Center, which is the largest independent auto proving ground in North America. So we have many.
And where is that?
Just up around East Liberty,
okay.
Ohio. So along that 33 corridor you mentioned earlier. And again, Drive Ohio is preparing about 200 miles of roadway for this smart technology, as well as we're advancing two smart city initiatives in Smart Columbus and Connected Marysville. So we have a lot of resources in the state. We have a large automotive industry in the state. We have a lot of automotive researchers and testing already in the state, as well as some of the advanced or some of the corridors in Smart City initiatives we're advancing. We have a lot of things that are attracting a lot of interest in the state of Ohio.
Mark Polizinski sort of got started on this before, but Jim Barnum was just saying that Route 33, there's been some development there to make it more of a smart road. What practically does that mean? And I'm thinking about this in relationship to all of the work we're doing right now on rebuilding the I-75 corridor. We keep talking about a bridge. We got to do the Western Hills Viaduct. I mean, we got some big projects out there. What should we be building into those physically? Tell us what that means. Or, okay, is Dr. Ma better?
Got a better idea. Well, there's all these technologies that are already available. It's not just building into the road. It's also building into all types of infrastructure, all types of structures that are going to have to connect with the cars. And whether or not that's
communicate with the cars.
Exactly. Whether that's short-range devices or fiber optics or whatever, I'll leave to the experts. But the point is that at OKI, what we're trying to do and have been trying to do the past few years, and thank goodness we ran into Dr. Ma, and also as we work through this, is trying to find out what technologies are not here today, what technologies are being developed, so we can put that in our long-range plan. So when projects come to us, we want to see these elements of technology in them so we can fund those projects as opposed to, you know, buying another bus or, you know, making a left-hand turn lane.
Are we doing that right now? Is OKI doing that right now?
As a matter of fact, we started that last year and we're working our way through it. But it's very slow, but we have to get started. As I always say, we don't know where we're going. We have to get there faster.
Okay. There's a real human question to all of this that always gets raised. And Zach, what's it going to mean for people who drive for a living, truck drivers, cab drivers, people who make their living from or even Uber drivers, even though it's a different format, you still have a driver in an Uber car. Uber is pushing very hard to go to driverless cars. So what is this going to mean on a human level about jobs?
Well, I think we've discussed this on air before, but we recently launched the Congressional Smart Cities Caucus. So, we're, you know, this is a discussion we're having at the federal level where looking through the lens of smart cities, they've actually added workforce and education to all of these planning because there is going to be disruption. There will be areas of discomfort, but the fact is I think we're going to create more jobs. And those people that are in service jobs now will likely still be in service jobs, maybe just altering what that service is. Maybe a driver will become a delivery driver and making deliveries. Okay, that can eventually get automated. You know, there will always be jobs. When horse and buggies became cars, I think that there was discomfort, but we had to stop cleaning up manure from the streets. So there were more positive outcomes. But quite frankly, it's important to know that labor unions have been a big part of this conversation on both sides of the aisle. So, I think that it's going to require collaboration and cooperation, but each stakeholder group has to come to the table so we can figure that out.
Dr. Ma, one of the things is that, as I see it, Columbus has, a few years ago in 2016, won a smart city contest, got a major $40 million grant, which then helped him leverage another $10 million grant. It sounds to me like Columbus is taking some real strides in this. Is Cincinnati starting from behind?
You know, it is a very proud thing that Columbus got the smart city and we have the US 33 deployment right now. So it's very good. I want to mention, reemphasize what Jim just said, that we are building this infrastructure. And actually, it also good that we are going to, for the researchers like me, this is a playground for us. We, if given opportunities, we'll be able to test out the technologies, the applications we develop on those corridors. So this is a very good thing. Now, from Cincinnati perspective, Zach, I've been working with Zach and Mark a lot on this realm. We have seen the opportunities out there, and we've seen more and more interest on developing smart cities, smart transportation systems. We are actually also submitting applications of this national grant to fund the smart city construction. Also, we are from internally, we also, you know, through public-private partnership opportunities, we are also finding opportunity developing that from that perspective.
Well, we have a call that has come in, and I want to make sure that we get the caller online. John, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have kind of comments, questions. First is your guests are very positive about all this. I understand their role. However, when you talk about Uber ride sharing and putting all of this infrastructure in, what about rural areas? It doesn't really work on back, windy roads. Some states have way more than Ohio, and Ohio has plenty hills and, you know, areas like that. I can't see it ever working there. Also, I've been a driver nearly 50 years. I've avoided deer and other critters a million times at dusk and dawn. A lot of the times it's kind of a sixth sense to know when they're about to come. I know other drivers hit them all the time. I don't. Okay. And thirdly, I'm really concerned that the state or feds will create liability laws that will allow these manufacturers to get away with having crashes like the recent Tesla stuff. And that they will really limit liability where I really don't think it should be.
Well, Jim,
so I'll take my answers off the air, I guess.
Right. Thank you very much, John. There's a lot of questions there. Jim, do you want to tackle some of those?
Yeah, well, John has some good points he's making. They're good questions. But the technology will actually help even in the rural settings. If you know, a lot of the serious crashes, fatals that we have on the rural routes is cars leaving the right side of the road and striking a fixed object. You know, whether that's tree, guardrail, or other type fixed objects. When we look at this technology, right now you're seeing levels of this technology already in cars coming off the assembly line. So there's a level of autonomous technology called lane departure warning or prevention. In other words, the vehicles will sense the car going off the road but will not allow the car to go off the road. The vehicle itself will correct itself so it doesn't leave that that roadway. So in the two-lane system, that's a very big problem for us as it relates to accidents. So this technology has applications in the urban space as well as the rural space. Most of our fatal crashes are crashes going off that right side of the road.
And Dr. Mala, am I correct that autonomous cars will be built into the computer that they will obey the law, speed laws, for example? They won't go over the speed limit, so they'll be more consistent and predictable than human beings?
That's absolutely the point. You know, with the software, it is more convenient to control the vehicles in a reasonable way instead of crazy human drivers.
Well, the crazy human drivers, okay, who are, you know, texting or doing something really foolish. So I want to thank all four of my guests today, Jim Barna, Mark Polozinski, Zach Hoon, and Jossie Ma. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our intern this summer is Leila Shakui. Archives for our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned to 91.7 for Here and Now, coming up next.